The Capital Investment Committee for March 27th is called to order. Members, we do not have a quorum, and so we'll go straight into our agenda for today. We will be hearing GO bonding bills on an informational basis only, with any amendments offered just for reference. Members and the public, we will have 5 to 6 minutes allocated for you. The first bill on the agenda is House File 3685. Representative Torkelson, I understand you have an A1 amendment for reference. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for hearing this bill. Yes, I do have an A1 amendment to the bill, and I would like my testifier to explain the amendment.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Valerie Halter. I am the city clerk and EDA coordinator for the city of Lamberton, located in southwest Minnesota. I am pleased to have with me today Lydell Sheik, mayor of Lamberton, Justin Trom, City of Lamberton's Public Works Director, and Laura Osteel, representing the city's engineering firm. The city is seeking $1.9 million from the state to cover a funding gap for a $7.3 million freshwater, storm sewer, and sanitary sewer infrastructure project. This is different than what was submitted. The reason for that is the bonding amount requested is based on us not receiving EDA disaster funds that we applied for the well portion of the project. The city of Lamberton's application for that was ranked, but by the time they got to us, they ran out of funds. So we were in the running, but we didn't make it. So the city of Lamberton is a strong community of 800 residents with a history dating back over 150 years. We are home to the Red Rock Central School District, which is opening a new $42 million E-12 school to students this fall. This facility will serve all of the youth from the four communities. Currently, the city of Lamberton is faced with imperative infrastructure needs. The city's water system operates on a one well without a backup supply to meet the needs of the school district, medical facilities, businesses, and residents. We currently have 36 hours to repair any well failure before the city loses water service. During high usage periods during the summer, we have at times had to ask our high consumption users, Buffalo Concrete, to suspend cement production. Having reliable water service is critical for the operation of our school district. If water service is interrupted, the entire school district would be forced to shut down. It is not an option to bus students of an entire school district to a neighboring district. Furthermore, an emergency switch to online classing could only be accomplished after significant loss of classroom instructional time. This project will allow Lamberton to build two wells that will provide resiliency and capacity to meet the water needs of the community. The project will allow the city to replace portions of the water mains and sanitary sewer lines that are failing. The project will allow the city to build up facilities and street infrastructure to their industrial park. This will open the doors to development of businesses in the area that will add to the city's tax base, ultimately lowering the property tax burden for all residents. As you will see from the letters of support included in your packet, both businesses and residents support the city's funding efforts. Like many communities our size, we struggle to fund needed projects to maintain a viable community. Our city reached the maximum bond capacity limit after our last street reconstruction project. As outlined in our handout, our debt service is significantly higher than comparable communities. Our ask of $1.9 million in support from the state towards our $7.3 million project will immediately support our school district, medical clinic, businesses, and residents. Long term, it will lead to an increased tax base and a lower property tax burden. It will greatly improve the long-term viability of the city of Lamberton. Mr. Chairman and members, thank you for your time and consideration and support for the Lamberton community.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, any questions? Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman and Ms. Halter. And this may be a question that others could anticipate and just answer before it's asked. And that is, are you in the fundable range of PFA? Do you know what your PFA ranking is?
Is that the PPL numbers, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So our PPL numbers are found at the bottom of our handout. Drinking water PPL ranks 667 and 668. Our well is ranked 669, and wastewater is ranked at 111.
Thank you, Ms. Halter, and Chair Lee, and again, others testifying, if they'd have that information, that'd be good.
Seeing no other questions, Representative Tolkison. Oh, Representative Kittner.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the nod. Can you just explain why the increase in request?
It was because we applied for an EDA disaster grant, and our application was ranked, but by the time they got to us, they ran out of funding, so we weren't able to get that funding to help us out.
Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Is there a chance to get it at a different time?
It doesn't look like it because our county has to be declared a disaster, and I don't believe we fall into that category at this point anymore.
Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair.
Close the comments, Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing this bill. We appreciate it. The city of Lamberton is a wonderful place, and I hope you all get a chance to visit sometime.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here. Next on the agenda, we have House File 3653, Representative Robbins. Welcome, Representative. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here with the city administrator and engineer from the city of Medina regarding our water treatment bonding project in HF 3653. So I'd like to introduce the city administrator, Mr. Scott Johnson. Thank you.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chair, commission members, my name is Scott Johnson, city administrator for the city of Medina. We have before you today a $2.9 million water treatment plant expansion. The reason for the project is due to high levels of manganese that exists in our water. We're at capacity. We've done a number of improvements to the current water treatment plant, but now we're to the point where we need the expansion. It's a shovel-ready project. We have the space that exists in the current facility. We just need to put the infrastructure in place. And it's about providing clean, safe drinking water for our residents. So we've got about 7,600 residents.
Mm-hmm. Members, any questions? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're trying to be very efficient with the committee's time, but I did want to point out we're handing out a different it's the same handout that was in your packet, but the color really shows the work the city has already done. The plant was put in 2005, originally because of super high levels of manganese in the water in the area, and they have upgraded the filtration twice, which is the max capacity they have. In the pink area on the handout we just showed you is what they had kind of planned on if they ever needed to add a third filter and do the expansion, and that's where it would go. And then I also wanted to point out the high levels of manganese that are shown on the other side. All the wells except one exceed the state standards. So this is a really important project for our area for safe water quality. So we do have our city engineer here as well if anyone has questions. Thank you.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Robbins. With this fix, how long will the fix last? What's its deal? Thank you.
Administrator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, commission members, I believe it's a 20-year fix, if I remember right, for our system. And we would have to look at building a new facility in the future. This would be the total capacity for this.
Representative Scraba.
That's all. Thank you, Chair Lee.
And Mr. Johnson, so is the total project cost 2.9 and the request is for the total project cost?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Is there any possibility for a local contribution from the city?
Yes, that's correct. We would look at putting funds towards the project. 2.9, I believe, is the current estimate.
And then just to represent Erdahl's question, are you guys on the PPL list, and what is your ranking?
We're on the PPL list. They got 7 points, and we've applied and been told we will get on the IUP. And they're willing to work with us to accelerate the project if that happens.
Can you identify yourself for the record, please?
Steve Nelson, Director of Water and Wastewater with WSB.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, any closing comments? Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the committee's consideration of this project. It really is important for water quality, and the city has been upgrading on their own for the last 20 years, so we would really appreciate the help. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have House File 4725, Representative Vernick. And Representative Vernick, your testifier is on remotely, and so please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Before you is House File 4725, a bonding bill brought forth by the city of Mendota, a small city with a population of 220 residents within Dakota County. The current water system was constructed in the 1990s in an effort to provide fire protection and water. It's supplied by this St. Paul Regional Water System owned by the city. There are several concerns with the current water system. The entire system is one large dead-end water main. The water pressure is three times higher than most municipal systems and represents the top 10 highest water pressures in the entire St. Paul Regional Water System. Only 35% of the properties are served by municipal water, with 65% relying on old wells. Most of the city does not have a hydrant located within a distance to be effective to fight a fire. The cost to remedies these issues, coupled with the fact that 70% of the households within the project area are categorized as low or moderate income, requires the city of Mendota to seek bonding help to improve the water quality and ensure safety of residents. Today I have the testifier, Mayor Brian Mielke.
Welcome, Mayor. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good afternoon. Brian Mielke, Mayor for the city of Mendota. It's important to note that Mendota is one of the original cities in the state of Minnesota. It was home to the original capital, the state of Minnesota. This project checks a lot of boxes and solves problems for the long term from an infrastructure standpoint, water quality standpoint, and safety standpoint. Only a small percentage of our homes are protected with fire hydrants. And everything that Representative Burdick said is accurate and well said that, again, this request of $5.2 million would serve the city for the next 100 plus years.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, any questions? Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, seeing 65% of the population has never had a water bill, are they prepared to get a water bill? Because it will be larger than what they're used to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Vernick or Mayor?
Yeah, Brian Mielke, Mayor. You're right. I mean, there will probably be a couple people that won't hook up, being completely honest with you. Although their water quality is poor, high iron and whatnot, but they won't hook up, those that just flat out can't afford it. I know there's some other programs out there to help with on a monthly basis as well for those that do want to connect.
Representative Scraba. Representative Hussein.
I kind of missed it. Did you say that now is St. Paul is providing the water?
Correct.
Representative Vernon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, that's correct.
And the total cost is this amount. Is the city or the Mendota Height is willing to pitch a little bit more money into it?
Representative Vernick.
I would have to defer that question to my testifier.
Mayor, did you hear the question?
Brian Mielke for the city of Mendota. You know, if we could get close to that number, I think we would look for ways to bridge that gap through a general obligation bond.
Representative Hussein.
What's the population for Mendota Heights?
Representative Vernick.
220 residents.
Seeing no other questions, any closing comments? Representative Vernick.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the city of Mendota and I thank you for your consideration of House File 4725, a project that includes several water system improvements. And we also invite you to come visit Mendota if you get a chance. It's not that far. So thank you,
Representative. Next on the agenda, we have House File 3695, Representative Nash. Welcome, Representative Nash. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for the expedient introduction. House File 3695 is a Highway 5 in Waconia bill that would provide $4.7 million of funding. It is a very necessary investment. The city of Waconia is a growing city. This patch of Highway 5 has had a high level of crash rate incidents. People are getting hurt on Highway 5. And due to some underinvestment, historic underinvestment from the state, Carver County has had to make investments on their own. And to talk about the veracity of the project, I have Lane Broughton from the city of Waconia, if you would. Thank you.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Lane Broughton. I'm the Community Development Director with the city of Waconia. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify about our project adjacent to Highway 5 and that this request will support. I'd also like to thank Representative Nash for supporting this vital transportation corridor in our community by authoring House File 3695. Phase 2 of Highway 5 would culminate a 20-plus year planning effort to upgrade the critical and regional transportation network in Waconia. Over the years, the city's been a willing partner in investment of state and county transportation systems in our community to serve residents and visitors alike. We're home to Ridgeview Medical Center, a vibrant downtown, and home to Lake Waconia and Lake Waconia Regional Park. So far, we've invested $18 million during that time period to the regional transportation system to connect these services and amenities, but we cannot continue to ask our local residents to spend more on these regional assets, and that's why we're asking for the state to support to complete this phase. We hope that through the support of the Capital Investment Committee, we'll be able to deliver or complete the project, reconstructing Highway 5 between Olive Street and Main Street, as well as extend the frontage road system at the intersection of Main Street and Cassatt 59. Phase one of this effort was completed in 2015. Phase two of the frontage road extension was started in 2022, and now it's time to complete this second phase. We've been actively working and applying for grants and program funds to the state and federal appropriations. I'm happy to say we've been successful in obtaining funds through the regional solicitation process and TED grant program, but we need support to complete this frontage road system. The requested amount will support the completion of that frontage road, and in that area, in between 40 acres of developable land that is guided for industrial and commercial development, and we anticipate, much like the first part of Highway 5, that will spur significant development and create jobs. Again, we thank Representative Nash for authoring this bill and the Capital Investment Committee for taking the time to hear about this project.
Thank you, Director. First up, we have Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Representative Nash, nice to see you in front of the bonding committee today. That's a rare event.
I've been here before.
You made a statement which kind of caught my attention, that there has been a historic underinvestment by the state. Could you elaborate on the historic underinvestment in your area?
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Franzen. The underinvestment has been over a number of years, to the point where the county actually passed a wheelage tax on its own in order to do some state highway projects throughout the entire county. Highway 5, even long before I became a member of the city council, was under study to widen it from the city of Chanhassen, really, all the way out through the county line out in Norwood, Young America. And it's been very difficult to get the state's attention on many of the funding requests that we've had. And Highway 5 is, for the city of Waconia, about safety, but it's also about regional commerce. So coming back and forth from Norwood, Young America, all the way into the Arboretum in Chanhassen, it's a very, very important highway. And there have been a number of times that we felt like we had to light ourselves on fire to get the MnDOT's attention. And I know that it would only work once, but we thought that we, at one point, would have to do something drastic to get their attention.
Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, lighting yourself on fire would be very drastic, Representative Nash. Let's not get to that point. But we have had a few years where there has been no bonding bill that has passed out of this body, the Senate, and hasn't been signed into law. So did by not having a bonding bill for a number of years, did that negatively impact your area?
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say in aggregate, yes, it's harmed Carver County. It's harmed Highway 5 projects. You've heard me say that things made out of concrete and rebar are important, and this is the perspective, I would say, of the city of Waconia. I would defer to my testifier as well.
Representative Franzen. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Nash. I think this is an important safety issue to do this. I do like to see projects that we have in the past appropriated funding for in stages to be completed. And so we've done stage one, stage two. I think it's important to complete things that we began. What is the total cost that you're asking of the project you're doing? I see what you're asking for. Is that the total cost?
Director.
The total cost is estimated to be $18.1 million.
Representative Erdahl.
Okay, thank you. That's important. Let's work through the process, see what's happened. I do have one question of Mr. Broughton. Who was your high school quarterback that threw touchdown passes to you?
Director.
Mr. Chair, I believe his name was Troyer at all? Many years ago, and as many of you probably noticed, I'm a pretty big target, so I'm not saying that's either good or bad.
Thank you, Director. Any closing comments, Representative Nash?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In your packet, you've got a graphic that details some of the things that are going on in the city of Waconia. In one intersection alone, there have been 11 crashes in a not very short period of time, or not very long period of time. It's a dangerous highway at times, and there have been projects to ameliorate that, but you know, I think that we would all agree that that's one of the things that we should get done as legislators for the state of Minnesota, is to make our roads more safe for the people who travel on them and better for commerce. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash, and thank you, Director. Next on the agenda, we have House File 4091, Representative Schumacher. Welcome, Representative. Please proceed.
Thank you for hearing this bill today, Mr. Chair and committee members. This is a water tower and utility improvement project for the city of Ruthven. With me today is the mayor of the city of Ruthven, Stan Townsend, to give you some background on the project.
Welcome, Mayor. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and esteemed committee members. My name is Stan Townsend, and I serve as the mayor of Ruthven, a vibrant community nestled in southwest Minnesota. I stand before you today to advocate for critical investment in Ruthven's water utility and sanitary sewer infrastructure. With the collaborative efforts of Ruthven and Pipestone County, we have meticulously examined and planned for the future of our water and sanitation systems. However, we face a significant funding gap of $4.9 million for a much-needed $9.9 million project encompassing the construction of a new water tower and distribution system, water treatment facility, and upgrades to our sanitary infrastructure. Allow me to illustrate the urgency of our situation. Our current water treatment facility, erected in 1970, is housed in the city's maintenance shop, a suboptimal arrangement, to say the least. This facility also serves as a storage space for various chemicals essential to our maintenance activities, posing significant risk to both equipment and staff. Furthermore, our aging water tower, dating back to 1937, has undergone extensive structural repairs and coating replacements, necessitating its complete replacement to meet OSHA and American Wastewater Association standards. Compounding these challenges is our antiquated sanitary sewer collection and treatment system, which at 46 years old is plagued by issues that compromise public health and sanitation. A preliminary analysis conducted by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency revealed seepage rates exceeding permissible limits, underscoring the pressing need for immediate action. Ruthven is not merely a municipality. It's a dynamic community teeming with dedicated residents who envision a future of growth and prosperity. The recent approval of a facility bond for new pre-K through 12 schools stands as a testament to our commitment to progress. Currently home to approximately 220 residents and 165 utility connections, Ruthven relies on its local government to furnish a reliable, resilient, and safe water source, a responsibility we take to heart. Investing in this critical infrastructure project is not merely a matter of convenience. It is a fundamental imperative that directly impacts the well-being and quality of life of our constituents and visitors alike. By securing a $4.9 million in funding, we can leverage other identified sources to complete the $9.9 million undertaking, safeguarding the health, safety, and prosperity of the Ruthven community for generations to come. Mr. Chairman and esteemed colleague committee members, I'm asking you to consider the gravity of our request and extend your support to the Ruthven community. Thank you for time.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, members, any discussions? Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Schumacher, is the mayor whom you derive your inspiration from for your beard?
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Franzen. No one has ever confused the two of us, but I can see where you may draw that link. Thank you.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Rep. Schumacher. Is it 3.9 or 4.9?
Mayor.
4.9.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the the bill we have here is 3.9. It's supposed to be 4.9, correct?
Mayor, yes, or Representative.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scraba, this is what happens when you let the Senate draft something for you.
Amen.
Thank you for catching that, Representative Scraba.
But I do want to make a note that between the city of Ruthon and, is that how I said it? Did I say it right?
No.
I'm sorry. Ruthon. City of Ruthon and the city of Mendota, you are more efficient with your dollars than they are. They're just a little more than you. But it's consistent for a water in a community of this size. It's just how much it costs now. So good luck. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, Mayor, just want to note, you know, I see you're on your note here, item number five, you know, responding to some of the discussions that we have and acknowledging that your city will have a established reserve and replacement account. So I just want to say I appreciate you listening to the discussions that we've been having and, you know, looking in the forefront for that. So I really appreciate that. Any closing comments, Representative Schumacher?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, everyone. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Keeler, House File 4204. Welcome, Representative. Please identify yourself and proceed. Please proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Heather Keeler, District 4A, Moorhead. Happy to be here.
And I understand that you have a DE1 amendment for reference. Please proceed with explaining that.
We do. So what the DE is it just reduced our original cost, understanding that we need to be more fiscally sound in our asks based on our target. So it is a reduction to get us more through a first phased option rather than a completion.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. So what this is it's a brand new ask. First, I want to thank all of you who came out to Moorhead with us and went on a little adventure on the bonding tour. I do always appreciate when people come out to our community. But what this is it's a bonding ask for a psychiatric residential treatment facility. If you look, you'll see a map, and I think it's really important because it's one thing to have state dollars invest in local issues. This is actually a local investment that would have regional impact for generations to come. Psychiatric residential treatment facilities are designed for our high need mental health or youth who need this support. What tends to happen and what we see in practice, and this is more of a human services probably conversation, but youth as young as 8 years old who need this support end up either being, one, housed in hospitals for far too long, shipped to another facility out of state, or housed in our juvenile detention centers for far too long and not get the services. And so what this does is we have an 18-county support with three tribal nations supporting this brick and mortar. We're also working on other avenues to help support the longevity. But I'll stop there and hand it over to my commissioner for more information along this.
Welcome, Commissioner. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee and members of the committee. My name is Paul Krabenoff, and I'm a Clay County Commissioner who lives in Moorhead. Clay County is seeking bond funds to pre-design, design, construct, finish, and equip a psychiatric residential treatment facility to be located in Moorhead. A psychiatric residential treatment facility is also known as a PRTF. Provides active treatment to children and youth under the age 21 with complex mental issues. This is an inpatient level of care provided in a residential facility rather than a hospital. Minnesota has struggled to meet the needs of children, youth, and young adults with complex mental health conditions, and PRTFs are and have been instrumental in the continuum of care. Currently, there are four PRTFs operating in Minnesota with one facility in development. The length of time to admission in all of the PRTFs is unpredictable, with wait times that are not acceptable for children who are at risk to themselves or others when in mental health crisis. Throughout Minnesota, there is an inadequate capacity in the continuum of care to support children with high acuity complex conditions that may include violent or sexual inappropriate behavior or physical health challenges. Children are being boarded in acute care emergency departments, juvenile detention settings, and even county office spaces and hotels, while agencies work to locate appropriate providers to meet their needs. In many cases, this involves dozens of calls both within and without Minnesota to try to locate a provider to meet the child's need. Much of the time, specialized resources are not available in local communities or even within the state, These deficiencies of services can create real damage and harm to the child's relationship with caregivers and others in their family. 18 counties in West Central Minnesota have provided board resolutions to support Clay County in the bonding request for this establishment of the PRTF in Moorhead. I've provided the map to you all. Also, as mentioned, three White Earth, Leech Lake, and Red Lake Nation have all expressed support. On January 16th of this year, an informal snapshot of PRTF needs were taken in 12 surrounding West Central Minnesota counties. Responses indicated there were 27 children that would meet the PRTF level of care on that date. There were no beds for them. 9 of those 27 were being held at West Central Regional Juvenile Center in Moorhead, which is not a mental health facility. Well, they're doing amazing work and do partner with local mental health providers. The complexity and intensity of these kids requires specialized mental health residential programming. Clay County has partnered with a local mental health provider for the development of a PRTF in Moorhead to help meet this challenge. During the last month, this provider has applied for a grant from DHS for startup funds to establish a PRTF and initial plan. Clay County has an innovative history addressing the needs of our city and addressing the needs of our vulnerable children. We are confident with your assistance we can be successful in meeting the needs of these kids that they face by doing it the right and humane way. Clay County is respectfully seeking Minnesota bond funds of $10 million. Thank you, Chair Lee and members of the committee, and for your time today.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Scrappa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, Representative, I completely agree with you. I'd love to see five of these around the state. I have constituents who have to bring their children to Moorhead from Ely. It's a five-hour drive, and it's the only place left. There's nowhere left for them. And any way that I can help, this to me is just part of the issue. There's a bigger issue here with mental health and the way we deal with it as a state. And I applaud you for starting this. Hopefully it'll be contagious and we'll find the funding to get more of these. It's important that we have these in our communities, near our communities. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no other questions, closing comments, Representative Keeler.
Thank you, members. I do think that an investment in mental health is really impactful from border to border for all of our communities, so I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Keeler, and thank you, Commissioner.
And thank you, Chair Lee.
Next on the agenda, we have Chia Zhang, House File 4371. I understand that we have former State Representative Rod Helmuthson here, and then also Director Turner from the Minnesota Council on Disabilities. Welcome, Chair Zhang. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Capital Investment Committee. Thank you for hearing House File 4371, a bill to make the capital tunnel system more accessible to people like me, our elderly constituents, and people with disabilities who come to the Capitol to meet with legislators. Our project will build a new 15-foot wide by 85-foot long adjacent section at the east end of the tunnel, connecting the Capitol to the state office building. This improvement will meet the slope requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Work will also include installation of an elevator that will convey wheelchairs and pedestrians with disabilities between the new ADA tunnel and the basement levels of the Capitol building. The current tunnel will remain in place to serve those who can use it and to maintain the current usage volume capacity of the tunnel section. The project will provide improved access for all Minnesotans to participate in state government. The eastern half of the tunnel between the Capitol and the SOB is especially steep with a grade of over 10.5%, which far exceeds the maximum slope permitted by the ADA of 8.3%. The steep slope makes it very difficult if not impossible, for those in non-powered wheelchairs and pedestrians with other mobility impairments to travel between the Capitol and a state office building. Creating this new tunnel section will provide an accessible route that can be used by all state officials and the public who do business between these two buildings. Fixing this tunnel has been a priority of other legislators before me, including Representative Hamilton, who's here today, and former leader Kirk Dowd. So here with me today to testify on behalf of this bill is our former colleague, Representative Rod Hamilton, as well as Trevor Turner from the Minnesota Council on Disability. In addition, Wayne Wozlowski from the Department of Advent can answer questions if needed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome back to the Minnesota House. Representative Hamilton, please identify yourself and proceed.
Chair Lee, thank you so much. My name is Rod Hamilton from Mountain Lake, Minnesota. I want to thank you and all your colleagues here serving on this committee for what you do. And Chair Young, thank you so much for carrying this bill. I've said many times, when you roll in someone else's shoes, you look at life a little bit differently. When I was first elected to the Minnesota House, I was still walking, and I was walking from the state office building over to the Capitol. Then I went from walking to the use of a cane to a walker, then into a wheelchair. And again, when you roll in someone else's shoes, you look at life a little bit differently. And trying to get from the state office building over to the Capitol was not only difficult for myself, and there were many people around here that are extremely kind that would help push me to the top of that the tunnel. But then I started recognizing individuals who would come here for Disability Day on the Hill, and you would just sit at, I would sit at the top of the tunnel and just observe, and you would see individuals that were struggling trying to get up that tunnel. And this is the people's house. We are here to represent the people. And you take a look at between here over to the Capitol, then over to the Senate. We should make this as accessible to all people as we possibly can. And so I really appreciate bringing this bill forward, and hopefully we can get this passed.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Do we have Director Turner? Welcome, Director. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Trevor Turner, and I'm the Public Policy Director for the Minnesota Council on Disability. And the Minnesota Council on Disability is very excited about this bill. We've been working on this for a very, very long time, several years. So I'd like to thank Representative Young for sponsoring this bill, and hopefully we can get it done this year. I think, you know, Minnesota has been on the forefront of disability advocacy and disability rights for decades. In fact, Senator Durenberger from Minnesota was the actual author of the Americans with Disabilities Act. But unfortunately, any building that was built before 1990 is not required to be ADA accessible, and obviously the Capitol Tunnel is one of those things. And it's really important because I, you know, personally believe that the best democracy is the most participatory democracy, and if people aren't able to get through that tunnel, it makes it really challenging to participate, including today, which is Disability Day on the Hill. You know, as you probably saw, there's lots of people with disabilities here today, advocating for all kinds of things. And that tunnel, especially, you know, most of the legislative session is during the winter time, so that tunnel can be extremely valuable and you know, life-saving. Obviously, a lot of people who are wheelchair users, you know, can't get through the snow if there's lots of snow, although this winter hasn't been a great example of that. But, you know, last winter there was a lot of times where it was just really challenging to get from the state office building to the Capitol. Out from outside, it was impossible. And then, of course, from inside, it's really, really challenging with that steep incline. And the only way to enforce the Americans with Disabilities Act is through litigation. And so we obviously, sometimes buildings and everything can get constructed and all that before without any kind of ADA requirements in it, and then later afterwards a lawsuit is brought, and then that has to be retroactively fit, and that's a lot more expensive, as we are able to see, than trying to just make it accessible from the get-go. And so I really wanted to thank everyone here for considering this bill, and I hope you please pass it. And I want to mention that my colleague, Michelle Severson, is here. She's our Minnesota Council on Disability Access Consultant, so she's available for any kind of questions about the tunnel project. So.
Thank you, Director. And members, before we turn to members' questions, I do want to note that we do have a drawing that was passed out by the page for all of you to see about the tunnel. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Chair Lee.
Representative and Mr. Turner. So it's a new tunnel, a new area. Is there any plan of putting a travelator or a moving walkway in this part of the tunnel?
So I will defer this question to Assistant Commissioner Waslowski from the Department of Administration. Commissioner, please identify yourself and proceed to answering the question.
Mr. Chair, members, Wayne Waslowski, Assistant Commissioner with Department of Administration. So this tunnel will be a new section. It will run parallel to the existing tunnel. There will be an elevator that essentially bridges that height difference. So there will be an elevator that just goes up the distance that's needed to meet the ADA requirements. So there will be a stretch that gently slopes up, and then I'll be going to an elevator to make it the rest of the way.
Representative Scraba.
Chairly, any putting a moving walkway anywhere in this project? You know what I'm talking about, at an airport, the moving walkway?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't think that would address the accessibility issue for all those, so I don't think that would deal with our particular situation that we have here, but I'd also just say there's no plans for any of the walkways that they have at the airports.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since I have Department of Administration, are you going to be the owner of the building and this project?
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner.
Representative. Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, is there any chance that you could provide me with the bid documents for this project? the spec book, the drawings. I'm curious why this wasn't part of the original bid, that the tunnel, that, I mean, on a project this size, I would have thought that this would have been the original bid to fix that issue. It's not like we didn't know the issue was there. So I'm curious on the why it took, it's going to take another $9 million, $8.5 million for a $532 million project. Shouldn't it have been in there in the original bid?
Commissioner.
Representative members, so this is on the other side of the street, and this did not meet the criteria for eligibility for funding with the legislative authorization for the state office building project. This did not meet those criteria, so it wasn't legislatively authorized as part of that project. However, the legislature did appropriate funds in 2020 to do a pre-design, as handling this as a separate project. So we do have a pre-design document that's been prepared in accordance with the funding that was provided in 2020.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I'm trying to keep it brief. So the ramp or the tunnel up to the mark 850, that's going to be all reconstructed with the new project, or is that still going to have the steep downgrade and then we're coming up? I'm looking at the drawing here.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative, so this project, that drawing is depicting from the Capitol side, so what you're seeing is the Capitol building and then coming out, and that's where you hit that slope almost immediately after you get outside of the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, it's all happening on the Capitol building side of the street.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, is the construction of the new project, the new building, does the tunnel under the street go up to this new construction?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative, now I understand your question. No, it does not. There's a section that remains untouched. It's actually the section under the street that remains.
Mr. Chair, does that meet ADA that's not being constructed?
It does.
All right, so we have three more members, Representative Hussein, and then Erdahl, and then Chair Lilly. Representative Hussein.
Thank you, Chair Shaw, and for bringing forward this. And it was tough for me to bring my dad here. And he wanted to be, and coming to the people's house, first time ever. for seeing him and pushing him all the way to the state capitol was very challenging. And coming down also was escalated. Mm-hmm. You have to put him down. I am big fan of this, the ADA compliance that is have been outdated. We should have seen it a long time ago. And I would love to see, maybe I'll send an email to the CAP board and see if what we're talking about is, it's a long way for pushing, if we can have like escalator moving so the people with disability have opportunity for them to come along so there could be very accessibility for this people's house. I thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Hussein. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chair and Mr. Wasonski. I'm correct that there will be two tunnels open then. Is that right?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, that's correct. It'll run, essentially run in parallel too, so you'll just split off and go to the just directly parallel and then again up the, an elevator, and then they'll rejoin each other.
Okay. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And did I understand, Representative Chung, you saying that this was a project that the Representative Doubt was in favor of?
That's what
Chair's
I was
all.
Told. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's what I was told.
Well, Representative Erdahl.
Ms. Chair, I think that says it all.
Chair Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Zhang, thank you for bringing this. I think it's really an important project to do this and do it right and make sure that people have access. Some of you around might not know, but a few years ago, about this time of year, I made a mistake, trimming branches and 22 broken bones and whatnot, but a lot of other things going on. But I was in a wheelchair. And just like Representative Hamilton mentioned, I mean, when you get there, you realize it's not an easy task getting up that up the hill or down that Representative Hussein mentioned. Going down is actually quite dangerous as well. But thank you for working on this, and very much appreciated. I think it's great for all of us. And I want to thank former Representative Hamilton for taking the time to come down and it's always nice to see him. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair Lady. And, you know, just in mentioning, you know, previous authors who have, you know, worked on this issue, I think it is important to recognize, you know, former Chair Murphy, who was the one that put in the 2020 bill, the appropriations for the design. Representative Friends, and last comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the taxpayers, Representative, are going to be questioning why we are having two tunnels and why not. And I understand the incline, but isn't there any way at all that that can be fixed to be a little bit more accessible? We're going to have to explain this to taxpayers.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Franz, and during the pre-design process, they actually studied probably about 10 different alternatives to figure out how to accomplish this. It's actually a fairly complicated thing in the limited amount of space. Ultimately, the recommended solution was this parallel tunnel, keeping the existing tunnel intact and building a parallel tunnel with an elevator. So they did evaluate, and again, this is an architectural and engineering firm that we consulted with to bring the right expertise to the table to evaluate options, and this is the recommendation they came forward with.
Last comment, Representative Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then at least can we get the leaks fixed in the current tunnel? Will that be done? $850 million, I hope so.
Is part of the scope. Okay. This obviously requires a significant excavation. Once that existing tunnel will be exposed, that'll give an opportunity to waterproof that. Only that section of the tunnel. We're not going the section across the street will still be left as it is today.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
And I meant to say $8,500,000, not $850 million, just to correct that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Chair Zhang. And thank you again, Representative Hamilton, for driving all the way down here. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Kozlowski, House File 2913. And I understand, Representative Kozlowski, you have an A1 amendment for reference. Please proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. Sorry, Chair, did you want me to move my amendment first?
If you could just explain it, we're not officially moving it.
Okay. The amendment, Chair and members, is just, again, in recognition of the state's budget cycle and the many requests. We're just scaling this request from $20 million down to $10.8 million, and we'll continue to turn every rock on the public and private investment to bring the project to fruition.
Sounds good. And then, Director, do you want to identify yourself and proceed?
Good afternoon, Chair Lee and members. Thank you for the invitation to be here and provide more context to House File 2913, Lot D Redevelopment in Duluth. I am Chad Ronchetti, Executive Director of the Duluth Economic Development Authority and the Director of the Planning and Economic Development Department of the City of Duluth. House File 2913 is a $10.8 million request to help fund the reconstruction of a seawall, which is publicly owned infrastructure. The reconstruction of this publicly owned infrastructure would support the city's immediate efforts, including neutralizing an imminent threat to a state and federally funded Great Lakes Restoration Initiative contamination cap in the adjacent slip, address the rapid erosion of contaminated soils into the St. Louis River, and support the neighboring industrial port tenant Compass Minerals, which uses the seawall and berthing infrastructure for its operations. By stabilizing this 12-acre mixed-use waterfront site, the community will further benefit from creating a site that is a leading candidate for the University of Minnesota Duluth's Large Lakes Observatory New World Class Research Facility, the ability to dedicate more than 1,500 feet of waterfront to parkland and create the final leg of Duluth's Destination Lake Walk, and finally, because of a public-private partnership between the Economic Development Authority and Inland Development Partners, a private real estate developer specializing in challenging brownfield redevelopment projects, the leveraging of $250 to $300 million in private investment in housing across income levels, destination manufacturing such as a distillery, and new market demand hospitality facilities. Respecting your time, I won't discuss in depth all of the long-term benefits, but I'll discuss the two most urgent needs in greatest detail. The most immediate need is protecting the contamination cap in the adjacent slip. In 2018, the EPA and the MPCA invested $3.5 million in capping systems for the contaminated sediment in the slips adjacent to Lot D as a part of the St. Louis River Area of Concern cleanup efforts. The publicly owned seawall infrastructure adjacent to one of the caps is deteriorated to the point of near collapse. Without immediate investment, the seawall could fail and damage the cap in place, disturbing the protected sediment, resulting in potentially catastrophic loss of this historic investment. Nearly as immediate is the erosion. The northeasternmost corner of this site has eroded into the harbor, with almost two-thirds of that 27,000 square feet of land loss occurring in the past 10 years. The soil being washed into the area of concern contains a large array of pollutants, including arsenic, lead, diesel range organic compounds, and mercury, just to name a few. So why am I here asking the state for support on this project? The seawalls along our 27 miles of waterfront in Duluth were constructed about 100 years ago and having reached the end of their life. The city of Duluth has had ownership of this site specifically for three decades, and in partnership with federal and state agencies has spent more than $1 million on environmental and condition assessments in preparation for the redevelopment. But unlike 100 years ago, when these seawalls were constructed, we have a plan for funding the long-term maintenance. A project replacement and maintenance fund can be capitalized through any or all of the following sources: an owner's association established on the site with an annual fee, berthing agreements with industrial users that utilize the seawall and berthing infrastructure, dedicated park permits and usage fees, and the Economic Development Authority's infrastructure funds from cruising tariffs. This project has wide-ranging benefits and equally wide-ranging support. In the room with me today to support this project is the University of Minnesota Duluth, the local 49 operating engineers, Inland Development Partners, and with letters of support from the Port Authority, the Area Partnership for Economic Expansion, the Building Trades Council, and St. Louis County. With state support, this single project will save a multi-million dollar cap, stop contaminant erosion, support the industrial waterfront, create a premier site for university research, build a foundation for equitable public access to the waterfront, and leverage up to $300 million in private investment. Thank you again for your time today, and I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Director. Members, any questions? Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative, Director, right? All the way through. I got several questions. First off, I like the idea that you're going to be helping with the university project. Right next to, for everyone in the meeting, right next to this site is true industrial. It butts up to it. So you need a buffer between this and the industrial, and the university has a pretty good plan in the future. Sorry to take away any of your thunder, Representative. But I've been there so many times now. But it's a good site, and this is part of the project. One of the questions I have is under on this handout, you have design development, inspection permit, seawall, and then down below, other construction, general conditions, permits. And then on other design costs for $2.5 million, I'm just curious where those dollars, what are those things? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Director.
Chair Lee, Representative Scrub, I don't have the detailed information on those other design costs, but I think it would come from the design of the seawall, of the corner of the seawall and the permit. So as you see, it's eroded away. And that seawall has some not being there, along with some open water mitigation that will have to happen, along with the redridge of the additional slip. I think the other design costs are associated with those unknowns.
Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know you're going to have to work with the Army Corps, and thankfully they're only a block away. I've worked with the Army Corps, and it's taken 9 months to get a permit. So hopefully you'll be faster than what we did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm done.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. And, Director, maybe it'll be helpful if you could just provide that information to Ms. Nash, and we'll make sure to send it to the rest of the committee regarding the details of that. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Real quickly here, appropriation at $20 million. Can this be?
That's money.
I shouldn't have gone out to see Representative Hamilton. My question is answered. Thank you. I was going to suggest ask if it could be phased, and apparently, you're finding ways to do that. So thank you.
All the comments, Representative.
All right. Thank you, Chair and members. You know, one of the really important aspects of this project is that where it's located, you came on our bonding tour when we went and visited this summer. It's right on the lake there, where we were at the deck, we were at the library. It is right next to the historic aerial lift bridge. And being able to restore and reconnect our neighborhoods that have been disadvantaged, make sure that this open space is preserved, that we remediate. In Duluth, we actually know this area as Onagaminsing, which is the little portage. And so protecting and preserving that historic and contemporary significance is really important, and this is, as we've heard conveyed in our letters of support and our testimony, that this is really going to unleash economic activity and create great jobs, support our workers and families, and also unlock future housing and economic activity. So really appreciate hearing this bill, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kozlowski. Next on the agenda, Representative Friends, in House File 3829. Please proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I have with me Scott Gilbertson from Alexandria Lakes Area Sanitation District, otherwise known as ALASD. Alexandria is also the city that is easy to get to, but hard to leave. So ALASD serves the city of Alexandria, Alexandria Township, Ida Township, LeGrand Township, and Lake Mary Township. It also contracts with the City of Nelson, City of Ferreira, Lee Valley Township, Miltona Township, and Carlos State Park, along with two rest areas along Interstate 94. So while Mr. Gilbertson presents his case for why this bill is much needed, don't think of it as just for the City of Alexandria. It's much more than that.
Welcome, Director. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee, committee members, and thank you, Representative Franzen, for that introduction and authoring the bill. My name is Scott Gilbertson. I'm the Executive Director for Alexandria Lake Area Sanitary District. ALASD is a regional sewer district. Our main purpose is to protect the lakes in and around Lake Alexandria. Our district covers 100 square miles. We serve 3 cities, 8 townships, and we're all located in Douglas County. ALASD was created in 1971, and we serve a population of about 26,500. Our current water reclamation facility discharges treated water to Lake Winona. Lake Winona is part of a chain of 5 lakes in which the water eventually flows to the Long Prairie River watershed. ALASD has been a leader in addressing environmental impacts and has been removing phosphorus since 1975. But even advanced treatment practices have not been enough. Under our permit, we need to remove phosphorus to even lower concentration levels. We are also designing for total nitrogen removal, and we are take our lakes very seriously. Protecting the Alexandria chain of lakes is our priority. ALASD is cognizant of the importance of this project. The reconstruction of our facility includes treatment technologies which will incorporate membrane bioreactors and biological nutrient removal. The design will ensure ALASD discharges the highest quality of water, removing microplastics, pathogens, bacteria, viruses, and make it possible to directly reuse the reclaimed water for other uses. However, this technology coupled with existing facility upgrades comes at a very high cost. The latest estimate from our design team indicates total costs exceeding $70 million. More than half of that cost is due to nutrient reductions, and we are required to make under our new permit these reductions by 2029. ALASD also needs to plan for expansion for the multifamily housing sector, including affordable senior housing. This sustained growth requires upsizing existing treatment components. We have raised our rates by 10% each year the last 3 years in anticipation of this very large facility upgrade. Unfortunately, inflationary pressures and construction costs have driven the costs higher than we have anticipated. We estimate costs have increased by 40% due to inflation and construction costs. Without legislative assistance, our user rates will need to increase by another 60%. This will really hurt our low-income and senior population. We are asking for $25 million, which would make the project much more affordable for our ratepayers. ALASD has been diligent in saving for future projects and continues to self-fund capital improvements to ensure efficient costs. We take our duty to protect Minnesota's water seriously. We can't do it without your help. Even if we get the $25 million, we will still be taking out a significant PFA loan to pay for the balance of the upgrade of this project. Thank you, Chair Lee. I am here to answer any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Director. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And Mr. Gilbertson, what is the average rate paid now?
Director.
Chair Lee, Representative Erdahl, we're at $40.81 for a single-family resident.
Representative Erdahl.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Chair. Mr. Gilbertson, along the lines of what I was trying to ask before, and assuming there's no amendment to this one, can this be phased, the $25 million?
Director.
Chair Lee, Representative Erdahl, we, in essence, are phasing this project. We are self-funding the design, the consultants. We are constructing equalization, improvements to our biosolids pad, and chiller work, and we're also doing force main improvements. Even with that said, the costs are still looking at about $70 million for this project. There's a big disconnect with the amount of grant funding available for projects of our size and facilities of our size and what it actually costs to construct. So the grants with PSIG is capped at $7 million. That just doesn't do a lot for our debt service when we're looking at a $70 million project.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Phillips.
So, Director, when you mentioned that you have increased user rates over the last 3 years, this is to all the members of the district and not just the city of Alexandria, but the other communities that you're referring to, correct?
Yep. Chair Lee, yes, that is correct. We also have commercial customers and industrial customers, and all of those customers have incurred the same amount of rate increases.
Thank you. Closing comments, Representative Franzen.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you for your time. And Mr. Gilbertson, thank you for making the travel.
Thank you, Representative Franzen. Next up, we have Chair Joaquim, House File 4511. Welcome, Chair. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Lee and members. Thank you for hearing House File 4511 today. Hopkins is a unique suburb with a historic Main Street and a population of just under 21,000, which some of you got to visit this summer. Our town used to actually be considered West Minneapolis up until 1928. We're a diverse community in many ways, from our housing stock to our residents. Our 4 square miles community is divided by highways, 169 and 7, as well as Excelsior Boulevard. We have 65% rental. Our population is 38% BIPOC, and 30% of our households make under $35,000 a year. Our mayor and city councils, past and present, have a passion for community engagement to inspire, educate, involve, and communicate. That's really hard to do when areas of your city that have the largest density are cut off from your major gathering places along Main Street. That is where this project comes in. It would build 2 larger park buildings in areas of high multi-use housing for our community to gather in. They would be climate controlled, open and available to the public, and could be used in a variety of ways. I've lived in Hopkins for 27 years now, and to my knowledge, we have not pursued a bonding bill until this year. This project would give our community an incredible opportunity to meet the needs of our residents, needs which Mayor Hanlon will explain. You also have a 1-page handout on the project in your packets. You'll also notice that there's cancellation language in this bill. The legislature did provide a bonding bill for Perspectives Inc. in St. Louis Park in 2021. That project could not get off the ground, and unfortunately, Perspectives has closed their doors. I carried that bill and volunteered at Perspectives, so this has been a huge personal loss and a huge loss for our region. But that bonding bill will be canceled on July 1st, 2024. The bill before you seeks to cancel that project a few months earlier and to transfer the funds to this regional project in Hopkins that I feel reflects the same equity goals that Perspectives had. I'll now turn the presentation over to Mayor Patrick Hanlon from City of Hopkins, and we also have Nick Bishop here from Hopkins, who's our finance director, to answer any detailed questions you may have.
Welcome, Mayor. Please identify yourself and proceed.
All right. Chair Lee. Thank you, representatives. Thank you. My name is Patrick Hanlon. I'm the mayor of Hopkins, Minnesota. Thank you, Representative Cheryl Joaquim, for supporting this bill. Thank you for all of your service, and thank you for those of you that visited Hopkins on your bonding tour as well. That was a heavy schedule you all had, so we appreciate the time you all took in coming out to our city. This request is for 2 multi-use community hub park buildings at Burns Park and Valley Park in Hopkins. As mentioned by Representative Joaquim, Hopkins is a small city in the West Metro that is drastically different than our neighbors. We're 38% non-white, 65% renters. We exceed our affordable housing targets for the region and have significantly larger portions of low-income housing altogether. These neighborhoods for these facilities have higher percentages of all 3 of these categories, with more folks that are Black, Indigenous, and people of color, low-income members of our community, and higher percentage of renters. 15% of the people in these 2 communities don't own cars. Significant percentages of homes don't have air conditioning, let alone during a power outage, or even a mutual meeting space for community meetings. These facilities will give people a place to gather day to day and escape extreme heat when it's most needed. There are roughly 1,200 housing units in one of the areas, with 1,500 more units that are scheduled for construction, that are in construction or planned for construction. These factors make the need for trusted space in facilities that are easily accessible for public events, where, for example, our officers who put on over 100 community events in the year can come and meet with community members to listen to their concerns, to host community requested events like driver safety training. Our school districts could now host an early childhood education class, and these facilities could act as polling locations as well, as along with a host of other public partnerships with public agencies to host meetings. In fact, right now I'm currently trying to work with an East African community member group, and we are restricted to a small room where no more than 25 people can meet. And so having spaces in these communities is incredibly important for us to be able to hear concerns and be able to get services out to people in these communities. These facilities will offer a Swiss Army knife of flexible public service space, community meeting space, and areas that are physically cut off, as Representative Joaquin mentioned, by roadways and train lines for existing services. We pride ourselves on being a community that carries our weight regionally from housing to transportation. We value partnerships to do this work. We're bringing this concept forward with Minnetonka Parks. We are partnering, as Representative Joaquin mentioned, with the City of St. Louis Park, who also don't have facilities in this area and have a large number of folks that live in this area. We're grateful for their representative support. We're grateful for the support of St. Louis Park Mayor Nadia Muhammad, Minnetonka Mayor Brad Wearsome, and their city staff. And together with this bonding, we will work out to fund the remainder of the work. Thank you for your time and consideration for this very important request for our community and for all of our neighboring communities as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Scrava.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just number game here. Just want to make sure we're all talking on the same page. House File 4511 asks for $4.5 million. The paper we have in front of us is requesting $4.956. The project funding and estimated cost is $10 million. The city is requesting 50% of that, which would be $5 million. I'm just trying to get everything so that it doesn't come back later saying, well, I meant this, I meant that. So I'm just curious where y'all are. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mayor or Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Chair Lee, and thank you, Representative Scrava, for the question. I'm married to a math teacher, so yes, I'm always asking math questions as well. Yeah. But what I was trying to do, and I know how tight it is for bonding requests, and since the cancellation from Prospectus was $4.5 million, I came to the city and said, well, can you manage with $4.5 million? And they said they can try to work on finding money with other organizations and trying to partner even more than they're already doing. So. $4.5 million is it because it's the cancellation from the other bonding bill.
Representative Scrava.
We're good, thank you.
And just want to say thank you, Chair Joaquin, for bringing this forward. I know that we have had some discussions, you know, with the modifications bill to see if we could cancel this appropriations in 2020 and reappropriate it, and we just thought it makes sense to go through the process. And so that's why the bill is before us. You know, we did hear this on the tour, but I want to make sure that members understand that there's the cancellation request from Chair Joaquin, who has been working with her colleagues in that area. So thank you, Chair Joaquin. Any closing comments?
Yes, Chair Lee and members, thank you for your time and attention today. Hopkins really is a small city that strives to connect to its residents and provide them with the services and quality infrastructure. This bonding bill would be used effectively and efficiently to fulfill a need that our community members have and that our elected officials and incredible city staff have found a way to address. I would appreciate your support for this project as you put together your bonding package. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Next on the agenda, House File 3657, Chair Moeller. Welcome, Chair Moeller. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Am I your last bill today?
No, we have two more.
So. Oh, gotcha. I was going to say saving the best for last, but apparently not. All right. So House File 3657 is a request from the City of Arden Hills for funding construction of a 1.27-mile trail on Old Highway 10, connecting its major roadway, County Highway 96, to Lake Valentine Road. This section of Old Highway 10 is a major access point for over 7,500 students currently enrolled at Valentine Hills Elementary, Moundsview High School, and Bethel University. And I'll just note that my two sons graduated recently from Moundsview High School. Go Mustangs. And the trails in that area are really lacking. The road has very little shoulder to no shoulder at all. There's some pictures in your packet of this. There are not good sight lines on this road. And actually, you know, there are a lot of new drivers, high school drivers in this area. And both of my sons were on long distance cross-country running teams. And you'll often see groups of students from either Bethel or the high school running in this area, like in the road, because there is no good trail in this area. Additionally, this road or this trail will increase transportation options for an underserved manufactured home community and provide access to the entire North Metro Regional Trail System. The request is for just over $2 million, and it's supported by Moundsview Public Schools and Ramsey County, and I have one testifier.
Welcome, council member. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Hi, greetings, Mr. Chair and representatives. I'm council member Emily Russo from the city of Arden Hills. I am here to request your consideration to support funding for a trail at a critical connection for 7,500 elementary school, high school, and university students. Our city is less than 10,000 residents, and we have a general fund of $5.4 million, and we do not take a request for $2,050,000 lightly. Currently, our students traveling by foot or bicycle travel in the dirt, shoulder, or the ditch on this 1.25 mile stretch of Old Highway 10. There is no barrier on this 45 mile per hour road. Pedestrians and bikers travel next to the vehicles, often driven by their peers who are newly licensed motorists. This includes the young people living in our 271 unit manufactured homes community. And I should note my daughter too is a recent graduate from Moundsview, and so I am very well aware of what's happening over there. Although a trail would be a nice connector to Tony Smith Regional Park, which attracts many people at Lake Johanna Boulevard, or Lake Johanna, and would connect to the entire North Metro Regional Trail System, the primary motivation for the City of Arden Hills to construct this project is student safety. In addition to the City of Arden Hills, other government entities recognize that the current state is a risk to students. The Moundsview School District supports this project and feels a trail would greatly improve safety for students at our elementary school and high school. Ramsey County and MnDOT also recognize the safety benefits for the students, including those at Bethel University. Our city has completed construction of a trail south of Lake Valentine to also support the student population, and it has been a successful project for us. This new trail would complete that connection, allowing for safe travels from County Highway 96 to County Road East. Additionally, a feasibility study has been conducted. We have a shovel-ready design and are just pending funding, which would be matched locally. We are also pursuing funding for the federal state Safe Routes to School grant and MnDOT Safe Routes to School grant. We are doing everything we can to ensure a successful execution of the project despite the city's financial resources.
Thank you, council member. Members, any discussions? Representative Scrava.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, representative, council member. Being from Ely, we did the Safe Route to School. It's a great program. There used to be dollars available. I don't know if they still are, but this fits that bill really well. If you are successful in that, how will it affect this bond? Like if you get a lot of dollars, does it reduce this bond? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Council member.
Oh, thank you. So we have applied for the federal one through the Metropolitan Council. We have received the initial rankings for that. We are number 10 out of 10 on that one. And then we have also applied for MnDOT as well, and we have not received the rankings on those. So I'm not certain at this time how much of an impact that will have for us.
Representative Scrava.
Thank you.
Close the comments, Chair Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just really appreciate the opportunity to present this bill and hope I can count on your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Council Member. Next on the agenda, we have two bills for Representative Kreisha that Representative Schultz is going to be presenting. So the first one will be House File 4093. Welcome, Representative Schultz. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's nice to see so many friendly faces here. This is the first time that I've ever been before the bonding committee. And Mrs. Schultz is very good friends with Mrs. Kresha, and in the way that that they're supporting both of us, Mrs. Schultz provided additional snacks, which is banana bread and banana and chocolate chip bread today. So I'm going to pass this around for you all, especially with so many friendly faces.
Thank you. Please proceed, Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you. So if I heard you right, Mr. Chair, it's House File 4093 that we're taking first.
Yes, yep.
Yep, so 4093 is a bill for the hangar renovation at the Little Falls and Morrison County Airport community and a county that I'm from and that I represent. And so this is an appropriation for $500,000. And I'm here also to introduce our testifier, who I believe is joining us via Zoom, and that is Greg Kimmon, the city engineer and public works director of the city of Little Falls.
Welcome, director. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Greg Kimmon. As Isaac Schultz mentioned, I'm with the City of Little Falls. A little bit of background on the Little Falls-Morrison County Airport. So Little Falls-Morrison County Airport has a main runway as well as a paved crosswind runway. We're centrally located between St. Cloud and Brainerd. And in my opinion, it's the perfect location for training activities. Back in 2019, we were fortunate enough to have a flight school that wanted to work with the City of Little Falls and Morrison County at the Little Falls Airport. And as such, that has increased the activity significantly at the airport. The flight school has thrived at the airport, and it draws in a lot of students throughout the United States as well as some of the local pilots as well. It's great for aeronautics industry. As we know, there's a lack of pilots in that field. And as such, we've spent the majority of our capital on those improvement projects, such as taxi lanes, pavement surfacing, and such, to enhance the appeal of Little Falls Airport. So hence the reason that we're here today. We have two older hangars that currently house about 13 aircraft. Those two hangars were built in the late 60s, and they are in need of repair. The tenants of those two hangars have expressed concern about the conditions. They do leak. They do have security concerns as well, because they are open to all of the tenants that are in that hangar. But the most concern that we have is actually the drainage around the hangar. During the winter months, water pools at the doors of these hangars, and it freezes down that hangar. So it makes it difficult to get, you know, that 50-foot wide door open to be able to get the aircraft out. We are currently working with MnDOT Aeronautics on a hangar rehabilitation grant, but some of those items are not eligible for the grant. And so the request that we have before you today is that it would help cover the costs that are not eligible for that. And so we do respectfully request support for our project on this bonding bill request.
Thank you, Director. Just for our tracking purposes, so the airport is owned by both the city and the county, or is there a majority owner, or how does that work so that if we were to consider this, the language will work and we don't have to modify it in the future?
We jointly own it, 50-50, city and county.
Okay, thank you. Members, any additional questions? Seeing none, closing comments on this bill, Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you for your consideration, Mr. Chair and committee. This is the same airport that I first took a flight as a Cub Scout, and the same plane can be seen currently housed in one of these same hangars that I first took when I was just a boy. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. Next on the agenda is House File 4891, Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 4891 is a bill for the city of Flensburg, specifically relating to water and sewer infrastructure and street reconstruction in the city of Flensburg, a community that borders my own, a very small town in central Minnesota. And today I have Mayor Gorka with me to help present this bill.
Welcome, Mayor. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Jim Gorka, and I serve as the mayor of Flensburg, a charming community of 276 in western Morrison County. I come before you today to shed light on a pressing issue that has plagued our town for far too long. The lack of public water system compounded by an underground petroleum leak site. Despite our best efforts, petroleum contamination was identified and has continued to spread, encroaching upon neighboring properties and causing significant harm. Homes and businesses have been equipped with indoor enhanced water treatment systems to mitigate the adverse effects, but the impact remains. One resident even reports the unsettling experience of smelling gas fumes in their toilet water. an alarming testament to the severity of the situation. The gravity of this issue cannot be overstated. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has been actively involved in addressing the contamination, even resorting to demolition and removal of a home severely impacted by the plume. They also have required 19 test wells to be put in place, which have been in place for years to continue to track the contamination. Yet the threat persists, casting a shadow of uncertainty over the health and well-being of our community. In light of these challenges, it is imperative that we take decisive action to safeguard the health and safety of Flensburg residents. An alternate public water system is urgently needed to ensure the access to clean and safe drinking water, free from the specter of contamination. Presently, our residents rely on a combination of private shallow wells and some regular wells, which are alarmingly susceptible to pollution, and our city's fire department lacks an appropriate water supply for fire suppression. This project transcends the boundaries of our town. It is a matter of statewide significance. Access to clean, reliable, and safe drinking water is not just a basic necessity. It is a fundamental right that every Minnesotan deserves. The City of Flensburg respectfully requests your support in providing the necessary funding to leverage our federally and locally identified funding sources to complete this project. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I urge you to support the residents of Flensburg in our $6.2 million bonding request. Together, let us ensure a future where clean water flows freely and the health and safety of our communities are safeguarded. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. This is a question for either of you. Where's the petroleum leak coming from?
There was a, years ago at the Guas gas station, the underground barrels, they started to leak, and that's where the contamination is from.
So leaking,
Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Leaking underground storage tank?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? So that's, we called that Lust back in the day. That's what it said, leaky underground storage tank. And it was a big problem in the 90s, and there was a lot of litigation about that. Have you identified the source of the polluter?
Yes, Mayor. That has been removed now, and even that is the residence that has been torn down right now. The residence across the street from that one also is one that, if we don't get city water and stuff like that, she can live there as long as she uses her filtering system and stuff. But it's not a house that can be sold or anything else. It'll have to be removed.
Representative Carroll.
Thank you. Perhaps I didn't ask the question very well. So have you identified who's responsible for the leak? It's not the homeowner, correct?
No, it was the gas station, the Guas gas station, the barrels that they had underground. That is where it originated from.
Chair.
Representative Carroll.
I assume that gas station's out of business?
Yes.
Mayor.
Yep. Chair, any successor liability that you can recover from?
Mayor.
That I don't know of. Right now, the state now owns that property, and they have removed the household and stuff like that. I do not know of any proceedings prior to me becoming mayor in 2021.
Representative Carroll, last comment.
Yeah, this is it. So I would just encourage you to pursue that and see what avenues there are and other possible recovery.
Thank you, Representative Carroll. Closing comments, Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Chair Lee, and to the committee members for your consideration of this request. As you can hear from testimony, a small rural community like Flensburg is really seeking to do well by their constituents, and we'll certainly follow up with the concerns and frankly, the good commentary from you, Representative Carroll, and ensure that we're taking care of this business in the right way to protect all of our taxpayer resources. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Schultz. Thank you, Mayor. Members, before we adjourn for the day, I do want to adopt the minutes for March 25th. Vice Chair Ryer, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Ryer, move adoption of the minutes for March 25th. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. Members, our next meeting will be on Wednesday, and we'll continue to hear more bills on an informational basis only, and I want to wish all of you a good break and stay warm, and if you're traveling, travel safe. This meeting is adjourned.